Thanks for joining us. Tonight, Donald Trump and Joe Biden squaring off one last time on a debate stage before Election Day. Did tonight's showdown seal the deal for either of them?
In a last-ditch effort to appeal to a large audience of American voters, President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden began what some would consider a traditional debate.
We're about to go into a dark winter, and he has no clear plan, and there's no prospect that there's going to be a vaccine available for the majority of the American people before the middle of next year.
President Trump, your reaction, he says you have no plan.
I don't think we're going to have a dark winter at all. We're opening up our country. We've learned and studied and understand the disease, which we didn't at the beginning.
Their policy differences on the pandemic front and center.
And that's what's happening. And he wants to close down. He'll close down the country if one person in our massive bureaucracy says we should close it down.
Vice President Biden, your
Simply
response.
Simply not true. We ought to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We ought to be able to safely open, but would they need resources to open? You need to be able to, for example, if you're going to open a business, have social distancing within the business.
It was quite the contrast to the first debate.
Why would you answer that
question? The question is,
the president initially restrained tonight.
I take full responsibility. It's not my fault that he came here. It's China's fault. And you know what? It's not Joe's fault that he came here either. It's China's fault. They kept it from going into the rest of China for the most part, but they didn't keep it from coming out to the world, including Europe and ourselves.
Defending his response to the virus.
We closed up the greatest economy in the world in order to fight this horrible disease that came from China. It's a worldwide pandemic. It's all over the world. You see the spikes in Europe and many other places right now. I say over soon. I say we're learning to live with it. We have no choice. We can't lock ourselves up in a basement like Joe does.
Biden, in turn, hammering the president.
220,000 Americans dead. If you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially. Anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America.
This debate comes as both candidates are in an all-out battle on the airwaves, in social media, and on the ground. Biden continues to hold a consistent lead in polls nationally, as well as in many must-win states. At least 47 million Americans have already voted, demonstrating intense interest in the outcome this year. Even astronaut Kate Rubin voting from outer space today. Since his recovery from COVID, the president has been holding rallies in contested states every day, despite scientists' warnings against large gatherings.
We are going to keep on working. We are going to keep on fighting. And we are going to keep on winning, winning, winning.
While Biden, by comparison, stayed off the trail, instead unleashing the Democrats' strongest, not-so-secret weapon, former President Obama. His mission, to make sure minorities and young voters who sat out the 2016 election don't stay home this time.
In the end, Pennsylvania, that's what voting's about. Making things better. Not making things perfect, but putting us on track so that a generation from now we can look back and say, things got better starting now.
Looming over tonight's debate, the almost predictable news from the intelligence community that Iran and Russia are engaging in election interference, sending intimidating emails threatening voters if they don't vote for President Trump.
Now we learn that Iran is involved. They will pay a price if I'm elected. They're interfering with American sovereignty.
President Trump arguing that there is no way Russia wants him to win.
There has been nobody tougher than Russia between the sanctions. Nobody tougher than me on Russia.
Then pivoting to attack Joe Biden's son, Hunter, and his business dealings abroad in Ukraine.
I hear they paid him $183,000 a month. Listen to this. $183,000, and they gave him a $3 million upfront payment.
All right.
And he had no energy.
I'm going to let the vice president respond to that quickly, and then
dishonest.
I need to get to a question to you.
No basis for that. Everybody investigated that. No one said anything he did was wrong in Ukraine.
President Trump then launching another attack using unverified accusations about the Biden family's business dealings.
And then we're going to have
stuff is true about Russia, Ukraine, China, other countries, Iraq. If this is true, then he's a corrupt politician.
Right.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. Both parties say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
NBC News' Kristen Welker questioned the president about a recent New York Times report claiming the president maintains a bank account in China.
I have many bank accounts, and they're all listed, and they're all over the place. I mean, I was a businessman doing business. The bank account was in 2013. That's what it was. It was opened and it was closed in 2015, I believe.
After months of unrest and calls for racial justice, both men asked if they understand the lived experience of black and brown Americans.
Nobody has done more for the black community than Donald Trump. And if you look, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, possible exception, but the exception of Abraham Lincoln, nobody has done what I've done.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire, every single one. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
On one of the most crucial issues for voters, health care, President Trump declining to provide any specifics about his plans for replacing Obamacare, a 2016 campaign promise he has yet to fulfill.
Will always protect people with pre-existing. So I'd like to terminate Obamacare, come up with a brand new, beautiful health care.
Biden saying he'd expand Obamacare with a public option, calling it Biden Care.
The public option is an option that says that if you, in fact, do not have the wherewithal to be, if you qualify for Medicaid and you do not have the wherewithal in your state to get Medicaid, you automatically are enrolled, providing competition for insurance companies.
Biden going on offense, challenging the president on recent reports that the government cannot find the parents of 545 children still separated at the border under President Trump's immigration policies.
Do you have a plan to reunite the kids?
Yes, we're working on it we're trying very hard. But a lot of these kids come out without the parents. They come over through cartels and through coyotes and through gangs.
It's not coyotes didn't bring them over. Their parents were with them. They got separated from their parents. And it makes us a laughing stock and violates every notion of who we are as a nation.
They are so well taken care of. They're in facilities that were so clean.
Finally, each candidate was offered the opportunity to give a unifying message, which each attempted, but then reverted to attacks.
We are on the road to success, but I'm cutting taxes, and he wants to raise everybody's taxes, and he wants to put new regulations on everything. He will kill it. If he gets in, you will have a depression, the likes of which you've never seen. Your 401ks will go to hell, and it'll be a very, very sad day for this country.
I will say, I'm an American president. I represent all of you, whether you voted for me or against me. What is on the ballot here is the character of this country, decency, honor, respect, treating people with dignity, making sure that everyone has an even chance. And I'm going to make sure you get that. You haven't been getting it the last 4 years.
With only 12 days to go, they'll no doubt be back at it tomorrow.
And coming up next, ABC's Lindsay Davis breaks down the final presidential debate with our powerhouse political team.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Nightline continues. Here now, Lindsay Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Joining us now to break down tonight's debate, our powerhouse roundtable, Matt Dowd, ABC News chief political analyst, Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, Sarah Fagan, CEO of Deep Root Analytics, and Yvette Simpson, CEO of Democracy for America. Governor Christie, I'd like to start with you. It wasn't a repeat, certainly, of the last debate, but President Trump went after Joe Biden aggressively. You've certainly coached him before, Chris. Do you think that the change in tone helped the president tonight? And is it too late to make a difference?
It absolutely helped the president tonight, the change in tone, because it did two things. One, it lowered the heat so that people could actually listen to what the two candidates were saying. And secondly, it allowed Joe Biden room to talk about what he wanted to talk about, which I've been advocating for the president to do right from the beginning, because Joe Biden, to me, made a strategic mistake tonight. He said he's going to go to zero carbon by 2025 in 5 years and phase out the oil industry. I am confident that voters in the middle of Pennsylvania and in certain places of Ohio in particular are going to be hearing that loud and clear tonight and knowing that Joe Biden is going to be eliminating their jobs in 5 years or less if we're going to go to zero carbon by 2025. I think this is a big, big mistake by Joe Biden tonight. And I think he's going to pay for it and could very well pay for it by losing Pennsylvania.
Rahm, how would you score Joe Biden tonight on the way that he handled those personal attacks from the president?
Look, I mean, I think he was most passionate when he talked to the American people about the challenges their lives have and how do they provide for their families and their children's future. And he clearly had it in a very personal way, understanding the pressure points. Joe Biden, in my view, did a good job and better than a good job for himself. He was aggressive. He didn't sit on a lead. He was concise. He had a plan, and he spoke to it. I think Donald Trump never really effectively made this a binary choice. And if you think of the debate as a whole, as a closing argument to the voters, in the end of the day, the architecture of this race is a referendum on Donald Trump, and it continues to be that, not only on the policies, but the coarseness of his rhetoric that has actually ripped America apart. And Joe Biden embraced that. Yes, character is on the ballot.
And Sarah, voters actually got to hear two candidates express full sentence differences on policies tonight. The president has been consistently touting his economic record. Who do you think made a better case tonight for bringing the economy back?
Well, I think the president, when we're talking about the economy, is usually winning the debate. I thought, Lindsay, he was particularly strong on what he's done to improve the lives of minorities. He talked at length about everything from historically black colleges to his criminal justice reform to job growth for these communities. I mean, he did a pretty good job of putting that together tonight. And I think it's actually a stronger argument. He makes the mistake too many times. He didn't do it tonight, but too many times he gets caught up in statements that are considered racially insensitive. He did not do that tonight. He focused on the policy. And on economic policy, he does pretty well with most voters.
Yvette, your thoughts on what Sarah just said?
I think that he was Donald Trump. You know, you say you're the least racist president, and then you say you're the least racist person in the room with an African-American female moderator. And then he says, the room is dark, and I just love everyone in the room. It's tone deaf. It's insensitive. It just shows more of his embellishment, his being divorced from reality, the fact that he really doesn't understand the needs of African Americans. I think one of the things that Joe Biden did for the first time was bringing forward the Central Park Five and the way that he handled that situation, which is really, really sensitive for African Americans. And I think he also did a good job of talking about the fact that many of the reforms that Donald Trump takes credit for, including the low unemployment among African Americans and Hispanics, started under the Obama-Biden administration. And so I think he could have said that more and more and more. And this was the first time I actually got, I think, a very clear answer from him on that.
Matt Dowd, I'd like to bring you in. We have less than 2 weeks to go. Where does Biden need at this point to be focusing his attention and spending his time on the trail? And what message should he especially be hammering home?
Well, since we already have almost 50 million people voted and we're as of tomorrow, going to be 11 days away from Election Day, and most of all of the votes will be cast by next Friday, by a week from Friday. The majority of votes will be cast. I think Biden just keeps doing what he's doing. Donald Trump was talking to Fox News viewers tonight. Almost everything he said was presumed some information that people got on Fox News. Joe Biden was speaking to the broad swath of America. And so if I were Joe Biden, he's got the lead. Keep doing what you're doing and keep speaking to the broad American public, because he's got the lead right now. And unless something drastically changes, he's going to keep that lead.
COVID-19, of course, remains the number one issue in this campaign, and we're certainly seeing a resurgence in many states. Chris, you seem to have had a new appreciation of the disease since you caught it. The president perhaps is taking that a little bit differently. Would you think that he would fare better if he showed a little more empathy?
Listen, what I've learned in politics, Lindsay, is you have to be yourself. You have to be authentic. And you have to say what you really believe and feel, and people can tell that when you do. And so what I would say to the president is say what's in your heart and tell people what you really think.
Rahm, what do we read into this intense enthusiasm?
Well, I mean, the fact is, going like to 2018, you had the biggest midterm election. There is a, and you're going to have, and all of us have predicted, there was going to be a massive turnout in the presidential. That was true in the primaries. There is passion on both sides. But the passion is also driven not only by Democrats who are angry at Donald Trump and what he's done to the country, but independent voters, suburban voters, college-educated voters, senior voters who were anti-Hillary last time have become anti-Trump this time. And they are there to cast that ballot. And when you have energized Democrats with exhausted independents who now are going to choose a safe Democrat, that is a very robust political coalition. And at no time did Trump engage the American people about where they were. He was engaging them, giving himself credit for what he got done. That's not where the country is, and that's not what they want to hear from a president. It's about them, not him.
Thank you to our roundtable, Juju. Send it back to you.
Finally tonight, debate reaction from voters.
I'm really excited to see that Joe Biden has a plan.
So tonight, my husband and I watched the debate here at home. President Trump is, he's always calm, cool, and collected, and he's always got his points together. So he knows his facts. He always seems to be right on point.
We're going to have to address the climate crisis, and what it's going to take is an investment. And Joe Biden made sure to talk about the investment and how it's going to be worth every cent.
My husband's a 28-year law enforcement officer. He's an Air Force veteran, and President Trump has been extremely supportive and dedicated to our law enforcement.
People are eager to see which way North Carolina leans this time around. I really do believe we'll be able to flip blue. Just the increase in youth involvement and youth awareness through social media, I really do feel like that's also going to have a big say in how this election turns out.
We have a high rate of drug trafficking, a high rate of human trafficking that passes through Maricopa County. So when he talks about protecting our borders, standing up against human trafficking, those things are important to us because we see the impacts here in Maricopa County. We feel them every day.
The most prominent thing that is in my mind leaving this debate is that we have steps moving forward. We have a candidate that wants to unite the country, not, you know, with red or blue states, but as American citizens.
The voices of voters. That's Nightline. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.